Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4 verse 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4 verse 1. The Gospel of Luke chapter 4 verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, Lord, in your house. Lord, with great expectation as we open up your word, knowing, Lord, that you bless your people through your word. And so, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Guide us, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you might receive all the glory. And Lord, us, we receive your blessings. And so bless again tonight your word and your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, actually, there are three titles that I want to give you here, because they're all good. The first one is The Purpose of Temptation. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? The purpose of temptation. What is the purpose of temptation? Because if we're not careful, temptations and trials can put us in a low place. That's not what the Lord intends with temptations and trials. And then, so the first one is the purpose of temptation. The second one and the third one are found right there in the first verse, full of the Holy Ghost. And also led by the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost and led by the Spirit. And so the Lord really wants us to understand what the purpose is for these temptations. And he's going to show us here by example. And so it's something more, really, when you consider to know something is one thing, but to know how to use that same thing is something completely different by experience altogether. And God wants us to know how that works in our lives. God doesn't just want us to hear the Word of God, but he wants us to know how to walk in the Word of God and in his truth, and to experience him in a great way. Every time that we approach the Word of God, God is speaking to us. And so we need to be careful that we're not just hearers only, but Lord, show me how this works in my life. How do I walk in this truth? And so, let me just share with you the three thoughts that we're going to try to cover here tonight. Ready? The proper preparation concerning trials and tribulation and the purpose of trials. The devil's ploy, plan, and purpose. He's got a plan and a purpose that he's trying to achieve. And then the Lord's return in power. And that's what the way the Lord wants us to walk. Remember, he said, "Greater things shall ye do," right? And so we want to adhere to and believe what the Lord is saying and not just what we think. Because here's what we think, ready? Here's what we think. When the Lord says, "This is what I want you to do," here's the natural way to think. "I can't do that. I can't do that." And so, well, guess what will happen? We won't do it. And that's not what we want to do. But the Lord wants to show us how that works. You know, have you ever tried to do something and then somebody shows you how to do it and then all of a sudden you step back and you go, "Wow, that really works," right? And so anyway, I'm reminded all through growing up in life. Haven't you had somebody show you something and you go, "Wow, that's the way that works. That works a whole lot easier when I do it the way you just showed me." And that comes from somebody with experience, right? Somebody that has done it. And maybe you've taught somebody. Maybe you saw somebody struggling and you said, "Listen, if you do it like this," and then you enjoy it. And then you really enjoy it. I had a friend of mine, Dean, that I grew up with, and he was an athlete. I don't know, from the crib, I think, this guy. And anyway, he ended up being a hemophiliac. He didn't find that out till he was about 10, 11, or 12 years old. I can't remember what age it was. But he was always doing sports. And his dad even said, who was a big-time sports guy, said, "Man, he's going to be something." But, of course, that kind of hindered him. But when I was about 14, and we grew up together, I'd known him since I was 6 years old, he watched the way I was swinging a bat. And he said, "If you'll just line up your knuckles and roll your wrist right when you connect with that ball and pop it, you'll see that ball do something different." And he was right. And I said, "Man, I really like that." It's just like, you know, I'm not a golf player. I'll just tell you that. I don't have anything against golf. More power to you. Actually, I'm kind of afraid to start it because everybody that plays it really loves it. And I'm just afraid to start it. But I've watched this video, or this commercial, actually, and I don't know what it is. It's this rod that slides, and they say, if you make that golf club make that sound, your swing will be right. Because he said, if you don't swing it right, and I don't know how to swing a golf club, but anyway, he said, "If you don't swing it right, it's not going to make that noise. This thing slides down and pops." And so anyway, these people were saying, "Wow, that really causes me, when I try to make that, I have to, my hips have to be right, my arms have to be right, everything has to be right in order for that to work. Now, I don't know if it really works, because I'm not a golf player, but everybody raves on it. But I will tell you, there are people that just watch people and golfers, and they just show them, okay, this is what's wrong. I watched one instructor hold the golfer's knees to keep their knees bent. Does that work? Is that supposed to be bent? All right, I don't know. But I was thinking, well, they must know what they're doing because this was a professional golfer. And he was just nailing them out there. And then they were even talking, you know, about Tiger Woods. They were talking about him and his instruction. And man, I never really watched him play golf, but I saw this little clip here, and he hit the ball. And I thought, you know, it's going to take about five shots because you got to make it all the way out to the green. He made it in one shot. Boom, landed on the green. It rolled right in there. And of course, the crowd went crazy. And you know, you really can enjoy things when they're being done the right way. And also, listen, we can really enjoy the Lord when we have him in our lives with his power. Amen. And that's what he wants to have happen in our lives. So we have the proper preparation. Let's look at that here. Look at verse 1 with me. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. That's the proper preparation. Hey, listen, how does that happen? You need to ask the Lord how that works. Jesus is our example, and the Bible says God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God says, hey, listen, a time has already come that we who worship the Lord must worship him through the Holy Spirit. And so worship is important. And if we're going to walk and if we're going to serve the Lord, we must do that through the Holy Spirit. Again, he's our example. He was full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, notice this, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you think Jesus knew that he was being led by the Spirit of God? And do you think that, and by the way, and as he was following the Spirit of God, he was being led by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, he was being led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a temptation and a trial. But and by the way, I am convinced the Lord had this idea. I am confident in God the Father, God and God the Holy Spirit, and also in himself, because he was part of the Godhead, and he had that understanding. But wait a minute, listen. This was the first time and only time that God emptied of himself, and he was no longer the authority, but now he came as a servant. Did he not? Isn't that what it says? He came as a servant. And listen, you and I can never get in gear with the Lord unless we see ourselves as servants. And by the way, do servants gripe and complain? No, that's not what the job of a servant is. The servant is to follow the commands of the master. And the Lord is the master. And unless, listen, if we can't get on board with the Lord, we are unfaithful servants at the get-go, and we will miss out on what God wants to do in our lives, okay? So it's not what I think, it's what God has said. If God hasn't said it, don't add to it, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. I'll get myself in trouble. So notice this, he's led out to the wilderness, verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now listen, God is wanting us to get this picture. He's full of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is. He's being led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. 40 days have passed, and there's temptations that have come the Lord's way. So he was tempted of the devil. Notice this, and in those days, he did eat nothing. What days? Those 40 days. That's a long time without food. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So listen, so here's the, and he hasn't eaten yet, but here he comes to the end of his trial. And now the devil's going to pour it on. He's been tempting him the whole time, but now he's coming to the end of his temptation or his trial. But there, listen, does God work out everything for our good? Yes. Is that just when the sun is shining and everything's going our way? No. Or listen, when everything's going the way that we think it should go? Because if that's really what we think a temptation is, then we're going to miss the Lord if we don't realize that. Listen, God brings his people through trials, and the purpose is to build our faith in what? In him. not in us, and not in us overcoming that trial and fixing that trial, but in the Lord. And so notice what's happening here. This is the preparation here, the proper preparation. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And now we find the devil's ploy, plan, and purpose. And let me just tell you something about the devil here. He always works to get us to be dependent on the flesh and to ignore the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, the work of the devil and this world is to get us to become dependent on the flesh and ignore the Holy Spirit of God and say, no, this can't be right. And then notice, I want you to take note of this. The devil wants the Lord to defend himself as the Son of God and not as the servant of God who is completely reliant on God for the outcome. In other words, he's going to do what is right and not worry about what he gets or what he doesn't get. How many times, I wonder, God's people are more concerned about what they're going to get or what they're going to miss out on. And so we better do this because it's not going to go whose way? Isn't that something? It's not going to go our way. And so, but listen, by golly, it doesn't matter what the Word of God says now because who's number one? And that's not the way the Lord wants us to work. We'll miss out. Who's number one, really? Who's number one? God is number one. So the Lord comes as an example to show us he is the servant of servants. Amen? And was he not? He even served the disciples. They even felt uncomfortable when he girded himself and began to wash their feet. And so the Lord says, you've seen what I've done? You do likewise. You do likewise. So notice this in verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Do you see how he works? Pride, the flesh. Well, was he the Son of God? He was the Son of God. But here's one thing he didn't have to do. Prove it. He didn't have to prove it. And so notice this. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Do you see how he works? Well, if you've been a Christian for so long, and if you know anything about God, then do this. Well, wait a minute. Who made whoever the influences boss? Is that what the Bible says to do? And of course it doesn't. Notice what it says this, what it says here. He says in verse 4, and Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know what he was saying? And by the way, the Bible does let us know that he was hungry. And so, you know what Jesus was saying? More important than my flesh and the needs of my flesh is my faithfulness to my God, is my faithfulness to the Spirit of God. The moment we start, listen, you can call yourself a Christian all day long till you're blue in the face and the devil isn't bothered by it. Oh, he'll even applaud you as long as you're in the flesh. Because if you're in the flesh, you are denying God and you have promoted yourself to sit on the throne and God won't work his work in our lives. He won't do that. So notice what's going on here. Jesus said and answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now here's what he's saying. Notice he said that man shall not live by bread alone. So bread's in the picture. Man's have his bread, but he'll be waiting on it from the Lord. He's not going to supersede the will of God to promote himself and his position because he's here as a servant. By the way, guess what? You and I are here also as servants and not as judges. Listen, that kind of spirit quenches the Holy Spirit. And that spirit is ours. It's not. It comes from man and the devil. It does not come from the Lord. And by the way, listen, a word about suffering. Jesus told him, I'm getting ready to suffer. I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And Peter, remember what he said? Oh, no, Lord, that shall not be. And what did he say to Peter? Get thee behind me who? Because that's where that comes from. Whenever we deny what God is saying and we're going to promote ourselves, by the way, that's what Peter was doing. And he thought he was doing a good thing, but he was doing the wrong thing because why? Jesus told him, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. And so listen, we need to get things on the right footing. Amen? Amen? And that is that God has to be first in our lives. You know, I've mentioned this to you before. I said, you know, listen, promotions are not the answer. And somebody says, does that mean you regret promotions? I don't regret a single one of them. Anytime I have the opportunity to present the Word of God, but see, that's where the mind goes that is not in agreement with the Lord. We don't even see things and we begin to presume and assume things that are not true, even about other people. Because listen, I would do it all over again. My wife and I started with three to five-year-olds. And in a short time, we had 20 of them. I had one of them. I never told her to call me, somebody called me Brother George, and she just decided to call me Uncle George. You remember her? She'd come find me out. She'd come off the bus, and I think she was about 5 years old, and she'd come running up to me, Uncle George. And I, what do you do? She was about only knee high. But here's the thing. I had the opportunity to talk to them about salvation. And do you know what a sinner is, Johnny? Oh, yes, yes. I want to go to heaven. That's what the five-year-old, because I would do the sermons with the illustrations. And Johnny would say, oh, yes, I know what sin is. Well, tell me what sin is. Well, lying, cheating, stealing. Oh, okay, Tommy, let me ask you, Tommy, have you ever done any of those things? Oh, no, Brother George, I had never done any of those things. Well, what does that tell me? They don't understand yet. Do you think I regret an opportunity to tell them about Jesus? My goodness, that's my calling. That's my gift that God has given to me to use for His honor and glory. Do you not know? Listen, we went to, during that summer program that we had here for on Wednesday nights, we canvassed, I can't tell you how many houses. Julia was involved, Josiah, Jessica, they were all here. I don't think Gracie was here, but my wife and I. And so lo and behold, God blesses with 12 to 15 kids. But then we asked them, hey, do you want to do this on Sunday morning? Oh, no, they didn't want to give up their sleep. But listen, does that mean that if kids start coming in tonight or next Sunday that we won't have a program? Absolutely not. The moment they come in, we're ready to go. But here's the whole thing. Don't get the cart before the horse and not have a right heart and a right understanding of what God is doing and what He's wanting to do instead of us coming up with the idea, well, then this just isn't right. If it's not working the way that I think it should go, well, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Are you praying the Lord of the harvest? How many tracts are you handing out every week? That's important. Hey, I didn't take a vacation because I went and saw my mom. I was handing out tracts every opportunity I got. Amen? Because why? They're not going to come to Northwood Baptist Church, but I'm more concerned about them knowing Jesus as their Savior. And so we need to be concerned about what God cares about and start figuring out where self intervenes and interrupts the work that God is trying to do. So notice this. Notice the Lord's source and power. That he's saying, listen, it's not in myself, but he says, I'm concerned about what God has said and what God has written. Notice the devil's deceptive plan here in verse 5. It says this, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Do you see what the devil's doing? He's saying, I'm going bigger. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. It's not his, but it was delivered unto him, and to whomsoever I will give it. Do you know, I cannot tell you how many Hollywood stars, and definitely how many rock and roll stars, have made a deal with the devil that they might become popular and promoted, and they are. I can show you an old videotape that was made back in the 80s, and it will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. They are confessing. You might know this one fellow. You may have heard of him, Bob Dylan. He made a deal with the devil, and he let the guy know on 60 Minutes that was interviewing him. I don't know what the guy's name. He was a nice, distinguished-looking black fella, an older man, and he was interviewing him, and he said, I've made my deal, and I got to keep my end of the bargain, because he's kept his, and he alluded. He would not use the name devil, but it certainly wasn't God, and so there's only one other power. And so, listen, the devil loves it when you lean on the flesh. He'll make that prosperous, or he'll make you think it is. And at the end of them, a lot of them die young, don't they? A lot of them die miserable deaths. And if they don't, listen, they've got misery to look forward to for all eternity. And so the devil said unto him in verse 6, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it. And by the way, listen, just there are things happening amongst the gospel ranks that is of the devil. Amen? There are things that are happening that are not of God, but that are of the devil. And just because we see something flourish and grow, don't be deceived. Just because there's a crowd there, that's of the Lord. If it's not following his word, watch and see what the spirit is there that's taking place. Verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship who? All shall be thine. If you worship the devil, all shall be. And here's how to worship the devil. Ready? Worship the person you see in the mirror. Make that person bigger than God and what he said. Make sure you fight for your way, your thinking, and the devil will applaud you. Go ahead. Tell him you're a Christian. Tell him you're a Christian, and watch how many people get saved under your ministry, because we're all ministers of reconciliation, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? We've been all given the ministry of reconciliation, and see how many people you influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. And the devil will let you blow that horn. I'm a Christian. But you're not going to see anything happening. It won't work that way. Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. Remember, he told Peter that too, didn't he? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Are we committed to that? Did you hear that? We shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only. That means he comes above. That means that we're up front. We're not deceptive. We trust him, right? Do I have to manipulate people to get my way when I'm trusting in the Lord? No. Come what may, Lord, it's in your hands. Is this your church or God's church? Who said he would build it? God said he would build it, right? And so if we're not careful, we set ourselves up as judges and thinking what should be happening and what shouldn't be happening, and we forget who? God. Where is God and his will and his way and his word in the picture? And so he said, listen, it ought to be our attitude too. Get thee behind me, Satan. Listen, that's of the devil. Even if it's in my own heart, if I'm trying to manipulate things and be concerned about things and worry about things, Lord, this is your church. Amen? And it is our responsibility as individual parts of the church to adhere to the word of God. Amen. All right? So look at the devil's subtle perversion here in verse 9. And remember, the Lord said that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, not ourselves, but him. And he, the devil, brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. Who's he getting him to rely on? The devil's trying to get the Lord to rely on himself and not the word of God. And so he says this, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, on the bottom of verse 9. For it is written, he's using the word of God now. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Notice what the Lord says here. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. How can he do that? How did he come up? How did he remember? How did that all work? Well, remember, he was full of the Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit. And he said, more important than me is the word of God. That's what put the brakes. But listen, there are Christians that when they hear the word of God, they excuse themselves. Oh, that doesn't mean me. Well, guess what? You're in the devil's hands. You may be a child of God, but I promise you, you are a vessel for Satan. And Jesus would say to us, if that's us, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Do you know that holds back the blessing of God? Do you know this? You can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I can preach the gospel. But who turns the light on? Who brings the Holy Spirit conviction? Who does that work? God does. And do you think you can do something to promote that? God will give it as he sees fit. And if we're not fit, he's not going to give it. And there's nothing we can do but to call upon the Lord to bring our hearts and minds in line with his. It's the only way it's going to happen. But if we belittle the things of God and count them as not important and excuse ourselves from the commandments of God, the little things that we know to do and we're not doing them, that's where we ought to meet with the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a problem. I am neglecting your word and I'm not allowing you. And I, to be quite honest with you, some Christians don't even care if that ever gets fulfilled in their life. How far do you think they're going to go with the Lord? Because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The Bible tells us if we're unfaithful in little, we'll be unfaithful in what? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So, listen, this is what I'm convinced of. God's still in the soul-saving business. But the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect or mature towards him. Amen. And if your heart and my heart are not right towards him, it doesn't matter what you think you're going to do, it's not going to come to anything that glorifies God. Right. You may get a high five from somebody here on this earth, but I promise you God's not smiling on that unless he's in the middle of it. So, last thought here, the Lord's return in power. He goes through this temptation. And again, look at verse 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. He comes back. But the last thought here is the Lord's return in power. After he had gone through this. Why? How did he go through this? He was adhering to, listen. This is how it works. He was adhering to how much of the word of God? 50%? Oh, 100%. And so how much of the word of God should we adhere to? 100%. So if we're sidestepping some of the word of God because we think it's little or not important or God doesn't care, who's the fool? We're the fool. We're playing the fool. And who's fool? The devil's fool. Go ahead, call yourself a Christian, the devil says. Fool. You're a big joke. You think because you got salvation, you can act like whatever you want? You think you could be unyielded to the Lord and God bless? And here's what people like that do. Ready? They start pointing fingers. Where? Not here. Not at themselves. They start pointing fingers at everybody else. Is God pleased with that?
No.
Not a bit. Not at all. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. You know why? Because he started out full of the Spirit. He started out led by the Spirit. And he started out defending the Word of God and walking by the light of the Word of God. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. You know why? Because he submitted himself to the authority of the Father. They're equal, but when he was on earth, until he was put at the right hand of God after the resurrection, he was the servant and the Father was greater than he because he was the one that submitted himself under the authority of God the Father. Amen. And so people that think that he's not equal with God have a misunderstanding of the incarnation of God. Amen. They don't understand that he lowered himself and did something that he had never done before for our salvation and also, guess what, for our example. And then he says this, follow who?
Me.
The Lord said, follow me. Follow me. So are we following the Lord if we decide to veer off path here and there? No. In how many ways does God want us to follow him? In all the ways. And you know, the easiest things are to follow him in all the little things. Is it not? And here's the thing, ready? God says men ought always to pray. That's mankind. His people ought always to pray. That's an easy thing to do. We ought to pray every day. And here's how we ought to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Give me your spirit to pray, to get caught up in prayer. What else should we do? Read his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, show me how to have your spirit that is lovely, kind, gentle, So the moment we start being unkind and not gentle and accuser, you know who the accuser of the brethren is? The devil himself. So the moment we start walking and listening to that, if somebody starts saying something about another believer that they're in church with, you know the first thing ought to be done? Hold it right there. Let's go talk to them. Let's go talk with them. I don't want to listen to that. Let's go resolve this, because you and I aren't going to fix it. You and the person that you've got a problem with can fix it. Otherwise, what we don't realize is we're walking against the Lord. We're not walking right with the Lord. And then we want to look everywhere else for the problem, but not here in myself. And so if we really want to do business with God, we have to repent. Isn't that what the Lord said? If there was trouble in the land, I dare say there's lots of trouble in the land. And I want to say this, it doesn't end next year with a change of presidents. There's still trouble in the land. Because there's all kinds of sin that is running rampant and going crazy. But if we're filled with it, what good are we to the Lord? And so God, do a work in Northwood Baptist Church. Where? I can't do it for you, but God, I want you to do it for me. And you've got to ask that for yourself. If you don't ask that, will you ever have it? You have not because you what? You ask not. You know, I don't have any problems with that. I just don't ask. Well, guess what? You don't get either. And we'll miss out. But Lord, not only Northwood Baptist Church, but all of your churches. Does Columbia, Missouri need revival? Amen. Does Missouri need revival? Amen. How about the whole United States? Amen. Can God do that? Yes. He will. If God's people will say, oh God, we need you. And forgive me, Lord. And Lord, show me how to really pray. Not just a little something, but Lord, and it doesn't have, don't put a time on it, but a heartfelt, Lord, burning desire, compassionate zeal for the glory of God in my life and for the salvation of souls. That's the way it works. The glory of God in me. You can pray for everybody till you're blue in the face, but if you're not asking God to do a work in you, guess what? You're not going to see it anywhere else. And so, Lord, I need you to start with me. And watch what God will do. Get this, when we do it His way. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and your will, Lord, for our lives. And Lord, we know that you love us and you want to use us. But Lord, we must come to you as individuals with a full confession, Lord, an upfrontness before you and saying, oh God, Lord, I need you in my life to empower me to walk in all of your ways. Lord, I'm not going to excuse myself from one commandment by your grace and your power, that you might fulfill everything that you will to do in me. And that is to make us, Lord, like you. Bless your word, bless your people as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.